I suppose that you'd like to mark in your Bible. I do, personally. And underline certain things, draw circles around others, and certain promises in the Scripture that the Lord gives, particularly during protracted times alone, put a date and just a little sentence beside it. And we've always been looking for better tools to use to write in your Bible. I remember starting with a red pencil and finding after 2 or 3 weeks, at least the kinds of pencils I used and soaked through to the other side, you didn't know which side of the page you'd marked on. And then Doss came up with the idea that you could use India ink and an Estabrook pen if you just followed certain rules of cleaning it out frequently enough. And then someone, I don't know who, discovered a German-made pen called the Rapidograph. I was given this one about a year ago, and I don't know if you've ever seen it or not, but to me, it far surpasses anything I've ever found to use for writing in your Bible, and I just carry it with me all the time. It has a goodly supply of ink. I use engrossing ink in it, and I found it very, very satisfactory. So we have gotten a supply of Rapidograph pens over here at the office with a point that's an even later one than I have, a double aught that Jerry says is very good for marking in your Bible. And in fact, the pen is prettier too. It's got a little yellow tip on it and all. Be easy to find it in case you lose it out in the lawn. These are made in Germany. How much do they cost, Jerry?
$3.
So if you save up, am I along about Christmas time? We'll still have a supply left for you to pick one up over there at the office, a Rapidograph pen. But you'll find it very, very satisfactory. I use it for writing in my notebook, too, especially since I've been using this little, it's in my coat, the little ladies' purse-size success diary. I have to admit, I have flipped to the success diary for a while. So that's available, at any rate, the Rapidograph pen. I'll be mentioning just a little bit later concerning the book with Power Through Prayer, and we have some of those available this morning. It's a 25-cent edition, is it? 15, better still. And where are they? Where?
Halfway up the hall.
Halfway up the hall, okay. If you'd like to get a copy of Power Through Prayer, you don't have it. This is a 15-cent edition. It'd be nice to take along with you today. That book, along with a couple of others, perhaps had the most to do with the early formation of Dawson's life and with the formation of the Navigator's work. Particularly Hudson Taylor, the 2 volumes, and this little booklet, Power Through Prayer. One prayer request that we did not mention last night, I'd appreciate you remembering today, and that is tonight we're due to start making the counseling tapes, the redoing them that you've heard about. And Ken and I have a date, Ken Metzger and I, down at the radio station for a couple of hours of work on that beginning at 7:30. So unless there's some unforeseen hitch, and I don't contemplate at the moment, we will be working on those from about 7:30 to 10 or thereabouts tonight. It helps me to think of prayer, our life, our prayer life, or plan of prayer, in 3 phases. 1, praying without ceasing. The spirit of prayer. Praying without ceasing. I read once something that Charles Spurgeon had written. And it was his testimony that hardly 15 minutes went by but what he lifted up his heart to the Lord in a word of prayer or praise. Well, I certainly have not developed that point. But praying without ceasing. And there are helps and suggestions along that line. But I think that the secret of learning to pray without ceasing has its roots. Or that kind of a life, rather, has its roots in the second kind or type of prayer in your life, and that is what we call the quiet time. A daily time set aside for meditation and prayer. Then, the daily quiet time can be made all the more effective as it becomes a praying out into day-by-day reality some of the things that the Lord speaks to your heart in the protracted time, the extended times of prayer, which is the third type. Protracted times, extended times of prayer, like today. I said to Charlie Riggs one morning, as we were walking down the street in San Francisco, just suppose that every Christian in San Francisco area, the whole area, spent an hour with the Lord before breakfast this morning. What an impact and a difference that would make on this whole area just today. Then suppose that half the people of the city, they're not all, not so many as Christians, but half the people of the city spent a half hour this morning, just in the time of meditation on the Word, before the Lord, and in prayer. What a difference it would make. But today we're too busy for that. We're too busy to have a time set aside just for a quiet time. To get people to get 15 minutes a day regularly is a rough job, to say nothing about getting them to, on occasion, take an extended time of protracted prayer, way and beyond the daily quiet time. Turn to Exodus 24:18 just for a moment. We'll begin with about verse 13. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you, and behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and the cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and gat him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Three times Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights alone with God. And I remember hearing Dr. Munger point out in that connection Psalm 103, verse 7. If you take a look at Psalm 103, verse 7. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. He made known his ways unto Moses. Moses was given some special insight. Moses was given a look through a chink in the fence, so to speak, to see what was ahead. The children of Israel, who did not have this protracted time with God, didn't have this special insight that Moses did. And they saw the acts of God as they were unfolded day by day. But Moses got some inside information. He got some advanced dope, so to speak. As a result of his time alone, his protracted time with God. And God will do that. I remember one time I said to Doss, you know, you strike me as almost feeling like you're a man of destiny. That you are destined to be used of God. And, well, he didn't know that was the case. But as I reflected on it further myself, that was the case. It wasn't he felt he was a man of destiny, but rather that in protracted time alone with the Lord, God had impressed upon his heart certain promises that he knew that God was going to fulfill. And as I've mentioned to you before, the navigator's work is not the outgrowth of methods. Or even a principle. It is the outgrowth of promises of this book claimed. And when those promises were claimed, Doss didn't have any idea how they were going to be fulfilled. You know that one time he thought that maybe his ministry would be with shoeshine boys across the country? He thought he might have a ministry among bootblacks. Boys. In those early days, as he was probing around here and there to what God would have him to do. But he knew from the promises that God had given him during hours spent alone up on the hill, God is going to do certain things. And his whole life was anchored and rooted in those promises. Well, now there are promises there for you and for me as well. And it's in times alone that God, in his own way, you can't quite describe how it happens, but it does. He gives inner assurances. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit, his promises to you. Nehemiah. Turn to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah 1:4. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Certain days. Not just 10 or 15 minutes, but he spent some protracted time in prayer. Then you come to Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4. And the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, here's what I'd like to do. And then look at verse 12. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Well, when was it that God put in his heart a plan? When was it that God put it in Nehemiah's heart to carry out a project? I believe it was during those days when he fasted and prayed and waited on God. And then when the day came, he was ready. He didn't have to think up a plan on the spur of the moment. It was already. I remember hearing on the radio, well, a man who's a pilot was asked by a boy, he said he must take quick thinking in case something goes wrong with that plane to know where to put it down. He said, no, you know at all times where you would put it down if something went wrong. You have that thought out ahead of time. After the trouble starts, it's too late to start to think. And so it is in our Christian life. It isn't a matter that we're quick thinking, but it's rather that God has spoken to us some plans and purposes in our own hearts in those times alone. Then when the opportunity comes, we don't have to say, well, now wait, I'm not prayed up. I'm not prepared. I'm not God has already given us a purpose and a plan. We should move right into it. That's why some people are dead to opportunities. They're impervious, it seems like. They're stone blind to these things. Why? It isn't that they're slow up here. It's that we haven't prepared down here. And this preparing down here is to be done when we get out alone and away with God. And then when the opportunity comes, and you're ready. That was the case with Nehemiah. Daniel 9. Turn over to Daniel 9. Now these are some important principles I'm giving you on the matter of what to look for and what to do in protracted times alone with God. These are some general broad principles. Daniel 9, verses 2 and 3. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to see by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes, and I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and so on. And by the way, you ought to read that prayer. You might want to make a note to read it today. But the point I want to make here is that he understood by books that 70 years were to be accomplished. What books? Well, the scriptures that he had available in those days. And as a result of his exposure to the Word of God, he prayed. Certain days he prayed, he fasted. Jim Downing said last night that God purposes, therefore he promises. And I thought to myself, well, and we can also add, and therefore I pray the promises in order that God's purposes might be brought into reality. That's what Daniel was doing. God had purposed to do something. He promised it. Therefore, Daniel prayed, which was, so to speak, his part in closing the link or closing the circuit so that the power would make the complete circuit, like an electrical circuit. And in our prayer, as we get alone today, it's not a matter of sitting up on the side of the hill with the Bible closed and then just thinking whatever thoughts come to our mind. That's not safe. A day alone with the Lord is a day exposed to his word. And then his word leads us into prayer. It's not a day of morbid introspection, because you could spend all day and come away worse off than when you started this morning. If all you do is think about yourself, your own problems, and all the rest. But these things need to be done in the light of the Word of God, the open book. And it isn't your estimate of yourself that counts anyhow. It's God's estimate. And how do you know God's estimate? You don't only know it as He reveals it to you through His Word, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's with the open Bible. And then the Word leads into prayer. So a day alone with the Lord isn't just sitting out on a rock, just seeing, you know, or like the thinker, you know, that statue. It's with the open book. Well, how do you do it? Well, here are some tools. The Bible and a notebook. A notebook, by the way, helps to clarify your thinking. And then you may or may not take a hymn book and or a devotional book. Hymn book or a devotional book or both. There are some wonderful hymns that have been written and put into expression. Perhaps what we ourselves could not express. And you can sing to the Lord. Maybe you don't sing very well, But as you all know, it says a joyful noise to the Lord. And you can be sure that you're out of earshot to somebody else. But the Lord will appreciate it. And that's one reason we suggest this book, Power Through Prayer. And by the way, if you take Power Through Prayer and you read it all through today, why, you haven't read it very well. Because to me, Power Through Prayer, about a chapter or two, is about all you can take. And it isn't the kind of a book that you just read through and then give a couple sentence summary. Now, some suggestions as to procedure. I just listed them like this. 1, 2, 3. Waiting on God, prayer for yourself, and praying for others. Waiting on God, prayer for yourself, and prayer for others. Now, waiting on God, what? To realize His presence. To realize His presence. And I suggest that you read through Psalm 139 as one scripture to realize the presence of God. There's no place from which you can flee or to which you can flee to get away from the Lord. Psalm 139. You may know other portions, but there's one. Just to realize that God is here. A lot of us are like Jacob. He said, surely God is in this place, but I knew it not. God is here, but we don't realize it. And then, waiting on God for cleansing. For cleansing. And the last two verses of Psalm 139 will lead you right into the matter of cleansing. And I would suggest Psalm 32, Psalm 51 as possibilities for reading as you ask God to search your own heart and to be cleansed of all known sin. If, perchance, there you have aught against your brother or they against you, you better make a note of it and purpose to take care of it at the first opportunity. If you don't face that squarely, you'll find that the rest of the day will be hindered. Because you won't, God won't be speaking to you if there is something that's between you and someone else that you haven't fully purposed in your heart to take care of at the first possible moment. That's the only way that I know that you can get by without actually leaving the spot and go hunting them up somewhere. But they may be out of, you may spend all day looking for them. And I think that the Lord realizes that, but if you purpose in your heart and make a note that you will get to it in the first possible moment, that would clear that up. But that's important. And then, waiting on God, not only to realize His presence for cleansing, and to worship Him. To worship Him. Just for who He is. And I would suggest, again, in the Psalms, Psalm 103 and 104, as wonderful psalms to follow as you worship the Lord for the greatness of His power. Psalm 103 and Psalm 104. You see, the Psalms are Holy Spirit-inspired prayers, aren't they? That's what the most of them are. And I know no better way to pray scripturally than to pray scripturally. And then, waiting on God Himself to offer praise and thanksgiving. And here is a wonderful time for reflection upon the wonderful things God has done for you. For your own salvation and spiritual blessings, your family, friends, opportunities. To get beyond the things that you thank the Lord for daily and just take some real time to express appreciation to God for what He's done. All right, that's waiting on God. Then secondly, prayer for yourself. On the basis of the promises of the Word. on the basis of the promises of the Bible. Now, you can pray for enlightenment, that the Spirit of God will enlighten your mind concerning some of the promises of this book, and actually search for and look for promises that you can pray and claim as you pray for yourself. Now, don't look for new ideas, necessarily. Or think that you've got to end the day with some new discoveries or extraordinary experiences. To try to do that is to miss the point. Your business is to wait on God and expose yourself to His Word. But if you're looking for some new experience that you can share with somebody else when you get back, or for some new insight or some new secret, it's to get off the track. Now, God may give you some new insight, some new secret, but oftentimes that can just feed your vanity and get your mind off the true thing. Therefore, I would suggest that you start not by thumbing through for some promises with which you're not familiar. I say, where can I find some promises? Let's see. I would take some promises you already know and take them right out of the topical memory system. What about promised blessings? There are 18 of them there, topical memory system. And when you start there, that'll lead you to something else. And I found in my own life that some of the greatest blessings have come just from a new realization and laying hold of things that I already know. That's the place to start. Or you may waste an hour just, you know, I wonder where God's got those promises of His. I wonder where, is there a book of promises in this place? Yes, there is. It's all the way through it, beginning to end. But start with the ones you already know. And then record your thoughts along these lines. It may be that God will speak to you about rearranging your schedule. Maybe the way you spend your evenings, you're just convicted that you lose an hour and a half every evening. So you may want to stop, take out your notebook, and plan how you can better utilize your time. Maybe you'll be convicted of the way you use your Saturday, that you're just really wasted and not realizing that you can get off the job and be recreated, so to speak, and still utilize it. Consequently, it may be that you'll have to write down some thoughts on that. Or maybe your Sunday school class will come to your mind. And improper preparation, or that you haven't gotten with somebody that you should have. Record these things. Maybe it's the Lord laid on your heart to do something special for someone. Well, make a note of it. And then, for yourself, I would suggest that 1 Chronicles 4:10 is a good pattern to follow. You want a pattern. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Bless me, enlarge my coast, that thy hand might be with me, and keep me from evil, for victory over sin, and so on. And God granted him that which he requested. So you know there is a prayer in the will of God. For a prayer for your personal life, your work, your growth. Now prayer for others. I just have three suggestions. First of all, it should be definite and specific. Ron, York, take care of that animal, will you? A little disconcerting when there's a half a moose crawling down. Be definite and specific. Pray on the basis of Scripture. You know, oftentimes you pray, well, Lord, bless so-and-so and help me, so-and-so, so-and-so. Well, why don't you just look up some of the scripture prayers and see what Paul prayed for other people? And you wonder if you're engaged in the same occupation at the moment, the things he asked for. And you'll find them in the first chapter of Philippians, and first of Colossians, and of course Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3 are four places that you would find what to pray as you pray for other people, Christians. And then you can desire for others what the Lord has shown you. It's something else to remember in praying for others. And then finally, a few miscellaneous thoughts. Three. One I've already mentioned. Don't look for some ecstatic experience. That isn't the point. Our point is to seek the Lord. Wait on Him. And the test of a day like this is not how high you are when the day is over, but how it works into life tomorrow. That's the test. Whether or not we have really exposed ourselves to the Word and come into contact with God Himself, that does something to us for daily life. Two, if your mind wanders, certain things keep popping in your mind. You can incorporate those items into prayer. Stop and pray about them. And if some business constantly recurs, something you mustn't forget, instead of pushing it off to the side and say, get out of here, I'm busy right now, just stop and put it down in your notebook. Make a list of it. You ever find that how many items come to your mind in church? Why is that? Well, one reason is that you're sitting still long enough for some of these things to come to your mind. There may be other reasons too, but I won't go into those. But it's be a natural result that today things will come to mind that you should have tended to and you didn't. They'll bother you a little. And so put them down. And pray about it. And think in terms of when you can take care of it and how. Don't just push the thing off because it'll plague you all day long. You don't just take it out and do something about it. And then variety. Variety. Read a while. Pray a while. Walk a little while. My buddy Charlie Riggs, he paces the floor of his room for his prayer time. I think Bob has quite a bit of strain as he walks. Bob watches. We take a walk. If you get cramped, I take a walk, stretch, and get some variety. Okay? Is there any question now relative to this? Shall we pause for a word of prayer? Now, Father, as we go, we pray that we may be directed of Thee and strengthened and guided and above all be enlightened by the power of the Holy Spirit concerning promises from this wonderful book. And may we learn more today of what it means to obey the injunction to wait on the Lord, to seek the Lord in His strength. In Jesus' name, amen.